Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Celebrities?
Dude, B-list is generous.
B-list is actually pretty generous for me, yeah, now I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, we're like Z-list, so to put him at B is...
You burnt your waffles? Oh, no. Well, you can cover up that burn with some delicious syrup.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. So, everyone, welcome to Game Classy.
Game Classy in the morning. Wild weekend.
It's actually... We're back for the first time in three podcasts hosting it at our normal time instead of at night with Steve being drunk, so.
Oh, man. I wish I was hammered right now.
I kind of do, too. I'm a little tired myself.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. So, and Steve's eating his breakfast, so you know it's the morning.
We should do one where we're actually just both, like, not tipsy, just obliterated. Like, set it up. Get completely destroyed, and then try and record a podcast.
I would only do it if we could talk about game stuff, because talking about game stuff when you are drunk is nigh on impossible.
We don't have to talk about whatever. We can talk about whatever.
Well, no, but that's the thing. Is like I'd like to talk about game stuff. I've recorded numerous, but like if you go back in the Planet Arbitrary catalog, you could find ones where I'm just ripped out of my head.
Yeah.
And I listen to it and I go, oh, this is terrible. This is just bad in every way, shape, and form. Because I'm just like, on that whole thing. So let's
stand up when we're done and just
fall over. Yeah, pretty much. Just records for another hour and a half as I'm passed out on the floor. That shit's happened before.
Oh, that's awesome.
So let's get it out of the way. Mad Max.
Thumbs up. Fantastic fucking movie.
Yeah, I give it a solid B. I think it was a good movie. Yeah, I agree. I have one complaint about it. Out of everything,
you would give it a B.
I would. I mean, it's like okay. So the action was unbelievable. Like it was so good. Everything having all the sets, the design work, beautiful. My only problem was that I didn't care about Max at all.
He was in it about as much as he was in Road Warrior.
No.
He had about as many lines of dialogue as he did in Road Warrior.
Well, Road Warrior, I actually cared about Max, and like I thought he was interesting. This one, it was just...
Max is more broken than ever. Yeah. Everyone he tries to save keeps dying.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, and I get that, but I would just like it a little bit more if like, I cared about his character, you know? Mm. And I also think, at least from a movie standpoint, when was the last time I watched Road Warrior? I mean,
it's pretty
old. It's been a long time.
I watched it very recently.
Well, I did too, but I mean, before that, I was like,
Just walk away.
Fucking Humongous.
Lord Humongous? Who's the guy with the assless chaps? That was Humongous, right? Or was that the Mohawk guy?
Humongous had just like a bondage outfit. Like,
yeah,
he had
yeah.
It was just a leather cross on his chest, the fucking like cod piece.
Yes, that's okay.
His ass was hanging out.
Yeah,
and then he had the hockey mask.
Yeah,
that's Humongous. Then there was
the guy with the Mohawk.
The dude with the Mohawk is the villain from the first movie.
Yes,
which is the first Mad Max. Like Max has dialogue. Like there's a lot of dialogue in the first Mad Max.
Yeah.
Because society's not completely wrecked. Because there's still cops fighting against the biker gangs.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name.
Is it Toe something?
Toe Cutter?
Toe Cutter.
I think it's Toe Cutter.
Yeah. It's good to see that in a movie where society's downfall is lack of resources, that they design an entire culture around cars and gasoline.
I mean, I don't think that was it. I think just everyone's dead.
I think that in Australia, if that actually happened, people would just be riding around on kangaroos, throwing drop bears at each other.
Right.
Nice.
No rules. Just right.
Nice.
It's just Outback.
It's the Outback Steakhouse is taking over Australia.
It's just Outback Steakhouse.
For those who are unaware, for those of our European listeners, all of our cultures informed on Australia is essentially from Mad Max, Crocodile Dundee, and the Outback Steakhouse.
Especially Crocodile Dundee.
Especially Crocodile Dundee.
Also The Promise.
The Promise?
Yeah.
What the fuck's The Promise?
You haven't seen The Promise?
I probably have. I don't know. Like, what is it?
It's a Wild West movie, but it's in Australia.
Oh, no. So I'm not a big Western fan.
Yeah, it's fucking real good.
Yeah.
my boner for it was huge. The movie was slow-paced, but it had a pretty good development of the story.
Yeah.
And then it was intensely gory. Like, oh, I was cool. Like, oh, fuck. Because you don't see, I don't want to spoil it, because anyone who hasn't seen The Promise and enjoys, like, Western-style movies should see it. But there's a point where, kind of out of nowhere, something ridiculous happens, and you're just like, holy fuck, that's a lot of fucking blood and gore.
The Crocodile Dundee, it was on Netflix just recently. I don't know if it's still on there, but that movie...
It's not a knife.
That movie fucking holds up like nobody's business.
It's just a knife.
I've seen you play Knifey Spoony before.
Does it hold up like Videodrome?
I'm wearing
a Videodrome shirt.
You
right
are wearing
now.
A Videodrome. I haven't seen Videodrome in God's probably since
long
college.
Long live the new flesh.
Yes.
I fucking love Videodrome.
But Crocodile Dundee, like, Kevin, the guy that I do Comic Book Logic with, came over one night. We were just drinking, watching movies. We're like, let's watch Crocodile Dundee. You know, we're going to hope to make fun of it. We're both sitting there going, holy shit, this is a really good movie.
Your night was ruined because you couldn't make fun
of a movie because it was so good. And, like, for weeks afterward, that's what we talked about was, like, man, remember how good Crocodile Dundee was? Like, the story development.
I heard the second one's fucking terrible.
We didn't watch the second one, but... Yeah, I've seen it probably when in 1991 or whenever the fuck it came out, but
it's Paul Newman, right?
Paul Hogan.
Paul Hogan. That's
Paul
right.
Newman.
Paul
was...
Newman's the one with the pasta sauce.
Yes.
All right, Paul Hogan, tell me about the real Crocodile Dundee.
So yeah, Mad Max was really, it was good. It was very, very good. I just wish story wise it was a little more developed.
It's definitely one of the best action movies I've seen in
years.
Wow. Well, it's been... Well, actually, it's the best action movie I've seen since John Wick.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, John Wick. But
John Wick's awesome.
But both of them, it's like you see, hey, look, no supercuts, no crazy, you know, jittery camera going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not an extensive amount of CG. It's like CG just enhances the scene. It doesn't necessarily create the scene, yeah. Which is fucking amazing.
Well, everything was built in Mad Max. Like, every car had to run. And the guy, and, like, you know, the dude who was strapped to the thing playing the guitar,
yeah.
Was playing a flamethrower guitar.
Which was the most amazing thing. I was like...
At 70 miles an hour. That's what he was doing.
I was watching the movie, and I was going, if they ever made a Gorka Morka movie, this is it.
Come on. Don't insult Mad Max. It's way better than Gorka Morka.
Oh, so, and did you see Avengers yet?
Yes. I actually saw an Avengers Mad Max double feature.
Ooh, nice. I've seen Avengers twice now. I just saw it last night again. Because I went opening night with my friends, and then my wife was like, but I want to go see it. And I'm like, we have a kid. You have to stay home and watch her. And the kid was being babysat, so we got to go see Avengers together. So, what do you think of that?
Mad Max was much better than the Avengers. I liked the Vision a lot.
Yeah.
I thought the Vision was great. He was phenomenal. He was my favorite part of the movie. And James Spader's Ultron was pretty cool. I liked his snark.
Yeah. As I said, James Spader as Robot James Spader. He wasn't Ultron. He was Robo James Spader.
Well, I mean, he was kind of like, I think he was James Spader doing a lampooning of Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what it was.
That's what he's doing. He's, you know.
Yeah, I did my okay. So this is really fucking nerdy right here. You know what I did not like about Ultron is that he used contractions in the way he spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Like didn't and it just stuff like that drives me nuts. Because
I think he does it now in the comics though, because he's like Ultron like 17 version.
So, yeah, whatever. I just feel like robots should never use contractions. Artificial intelligence should never use contractions.
Only data. Only data has that rule.
Yeah, but I mean,
I cannot, sir.
I get it. It's just something so ingrained in me. I read a book years ago called Galatea 2.0, and it was all about artificial intelligence. And that's where they were trying to test to see if they can get a computer to show signs of artificial intelligence. And that was one of the things was that the robot all of a sudden starts using contractions. He's like, wait a second, someone's fucking playing a joke on me because computers will never be able to use contractions like this. And sure enough, it was. And it's just like ever since then, it stuck with me. I was like, robots should not use contractions. And this was like pre me getting into Star Trek The Next Generation.
Now I know why you cry.
I know. But the Avengers was better on the second watch. I feel the first time I watched it, I was like, ugh.
I did want to see it again.
It was like a total like.
I thought it was better than the first Avengers. It had more action.
I don't think it, because I just rewatched the original Avengers. I think it's
the
just
first
different.
One's got way more action.
Yeah, the first one has
Second one has way more action. I blew. Because the first one's got a lot of like setup where they're building the team, etc.
Well, the first one, all the action sequences are all delineated by act. So act one has an action sequence, act two has an action sequence, act three has an action sequence, act four has an action sequence, act five has an action sequence. This one, the action sequences are a little more spread out, but I think they're actually better done. In all honesty.
There was almost no downtime in the action sequences for two. I mean, as far as I remember it, there was like, there's the opening action sequence, then there's the
Tableau where they're all like, we should do that with like a game classy, like one where we're just doing like a slow motion tableau.
As long as one of them is me pooping.
Is you pooping?
with like a Dungeon Master's guide. There's like the one action sequence at the beginning, then there was the dinner party, and then from the dinner party on, it was kind of nonstop.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, there was,
and then Thor got in the hot tub.
It's true, ladies, and some men.
All men. Thor, Thor's hammer swings both ways. Let's just put it that way.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it was
Mark Ruffalo should be replaced by Steve Buscemi.
I saw that picture. That was pretty funny. I thought, you know, in the Ultimates comic, in the original Ultimates comic, Banner was drawn to look like Steve Buscemi.
Really?
Yeah.
If you
go back and read it.
I never read the Ultimates, so.
It's good. You'd like it, actually.
I think Steve Buscemi should be cast in more roles.
It's just so terrifyingly ugly.
He's not. He's funny looking.
And
when you try to say, in what way? You go, I don't know, in a general way.
In a Steve Buscemi sort of way. He's a funny looking guy.
In a general way.
I just rewatched Reservoir Dogs, and I actually forgot that he was in Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, really?
As
he's the only one who doesn't die.
Yeah. As
Mr. Oh, spoiler alert for Reservoir Dogs. Everyone dies but Steve Buscemi.
That 20-year-old movie at this point. But it's actually pretty good. I was surprised because I was like, he doesn't look like Steve Buscemi in this movie. Buscemi.
Yeah, now that Boardwalk Empire is over, once we finish Voyager, we're going to probably hammer through Boardwalk Empire as the next show.
Did you ever see it?
No.
It's actually pretty good.
I heard it's great. So
I don't want to give away too much, but I was a huge fan of the first three seasons. I thought that the last two were kind of... But definitely the
we're going to marathon it. Yeah. I've actually found a lot of times when you marathon a show, it kind of changes everything.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, it's definitely a very well done show. Cool. I'm the first two seasons are amazing television.
Excellent. Yeah, well, good. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah. Well, anything could be better than the last few episodes of Game of Thrones, let me tell you that.
It's funny, because I know you're upset because you're a book fan.
It's not even that, man. Come on. It's just they've been...
Yeah, I mean, the season's been boring, but...
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I was just like, oh, man. I'm starting to get more excited by the alcohol I'm drinking during Game of Thrones than Game of Thrones itself.
Yes, I actually... You know, I've been drinking during Game of Thrones as well. I don't think it's the content... That's bad. I think it's the presentation. I think they're missing a lot of, like, the pacing is off. It's kind of like the entire episode is the slow machination or just people talking, which is normally okay, but usually they pepper in a fucking fight.
Yeah.
And the only fight that was in the seasons was cut short super fast.
Yeah.
With the sand snakes, the daughters of the snakes, whatever they're fucking
sand
called.
Sand snakes.
Yeah. There was like about to be a sweet fight with them, and then it's like the gigantic black guy's like, no, there will be no fight. And it's like, damn it. And then when I saw that guy, I got sad because I was like, oh man, that was probably gonna be Michael Clark Duncan.
Aww.
Every so often I get a little sad when I see like when I see a big black guy, I'm like, should've been Michael Clark Duncan.
What about Ving Rhames?
Ving Rhames is cool, but Ving Rhames isn't actually that, like,
he's not a big guy.
Yeah, he's like buff, like he's like wide.
Yeah, but he's not like a tall guy.
Yeah, he's not super tall. Besides, when you kick it in the Caribbean, you're gonna think to yourself, Marcellus Wallace was right.
All right, so let's get into a little bit of gaming stuff. I don't have too much to talk about today, so hopefully you have at least one or two nuggets of information. First thing, I think it's a lot of peep fans of the podcast and just people in general are talking about Frostgrave. Have you seen this?
That's the one with the 90s minis, right?
Yeah, they're like the really, really terrible 90s minis.
I think it's funny that you can say that with a straight face, yet you own that bag of fucking orcs with the puffy sleeves.
Yeah, but I've owned those for years. I mean, I've owned those probably since the 90s.
Well, if they're charging 90s prices for those minis, we're fine.
Well, okay.
If they're not, then
so nah. To give people who are listening a clue, if they don't even know what the fuck we're talking about, Frostgrave is essentially.
If they don't know, they probably don't care.
Yeah, they probably don't care. But Frostgrave is essentially Osprey. You know, Osprey's been doing all those one-off mini rules books.
And my most hated of companies because they're. All about history.
All about history. But they all their mini rules books aren't about history. They're like peppered in like some mythological stuff and, you know, pulp and everything else.
Actually, I'm just kidding. They don't really their historical books are just history books. What the hell?
That's
Who is it?
Oh man, it's a package.
You got your amiibos? More amiibos?
It might be another amiibo.
So many more amiibos.
I got a sick deal.
So anyway, Osprey's been doing these book series. Their new one coming out is Frostgrave. It's essentially Osprey has kind of... It's Osprey and, what is it, North...
Northstar?
Northstar figures, yeah. Northstar figures are doing a Mordheim ripoff. That's what they're like, you know what?
Can you really consider it a ripoff if the game's not in print anymore?
Yeah, I know. I just had this argument with Tim Lyson.
Oh, really?
Literally just had the same argument.
That's awesome.
It's essentially just, it's Mordheim for people who want to continue to play Mordheim. You get the rule book, and all you need is like a wizard and his warband is essentially all it is. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different than Mordheim because you don't necessarily have to have a wizard in Mordheim. But the wizards are all sculpted, like all the figures are sculpted by like Mark Copplestone, so they look like sweet 90s figures.
Yeah, some people really don't like that, but I always kind of find it, I'm like, you know, they should really be painted with more red and yellow.
They really should be. I mean, they did go with some sweet, sweet blue. But
and they have the classic, like, I'm standing straight forward. My right arm is just extended to the right, making a fist. My left arm is extended to the left, making a fist. I'm just standing like a T.
So Mark like, Copplestone.
Yeah, the Ragnar Blackmane and stuff.
That's why Tim Lyson was super duper excited about it, because that's his. He loves figures like
they're great.
That.
Well, he also paints them and makes them look insane.
Yeah, exactly.
The fucking halfling.
But I mean, I'm pulling up a picture of one of the figures, and I absolutely.
Ah, nice.
Who is that?
This is the villager.
From?
He's from Animal Crossing.
And what's that?
Animal Crossing is a game that's for GameCube and 3DS. It's like a... It's kind of like a really, really zoomed in Sim City.
Okay.
Where you play as a specific character and you, like, interact with the people of the town rather than just building the town.
And people like that?
Animal Crossing? There's a lot of people like it. My sister fucking loves it. I've never been a big fan of it myself, but... This is the one of the rarest amiibo.
It's the rarest of the amiibo.
What
about the gold plated Mario or whatever it is?
The gold Mario is like quasi rare. This is the other super rare amiibo, Little Mac. Yes, this guy, Little Mac, is like
your guy has like a bent package.
Yeah. I take him out of the box. I don't care about that. Some people do. Some people there's fucking like amiibo douches who are like, I need to swap. Would anyone want to swap this for a mint in condition box? I can't have this crease. So Little Mac is routinely over 90, and same with Villager. These are both very rare. There's one other amiibo that I don't own that's in the holy trinity of amiibo collecting is also $90. I got these for $20 each.
Oh, ooh.
So I felt fine paying that. It was $20 each, no shipping.
That's not bad,
right? Because they're coming from Japan, so
I could tell by the Japanese packaging.
Yeah,
and since you actually like open them up, it doesn't really matter that they're Japanese packaging.
Well, the thing that's actually like sweet about amiibo, and this is totally random, but a lot of times Nintendo products are region locked. Like if you buy a game in the UK, if you go to the UK and you buy it, you can't play it on your American DS.
I learned that from Pat.
Yeah. So, but these are not. Inexplicably, the company that region locks the most product did not region lock amiibo.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this is one of the figures. This is the Chronomancer and his or her acolyte. They're like the worst fucking figures. They're so terrible.
Dude, but that fucking hourglass. Dude, I sneezed. That fucking hourglass, though.
Oh, the hourglass on the staff?
Yes.
It's so bad. Oh, she's got a half mask. That means she's mysterious, Steve.
Or you know, she's got a herpes outbreak
on the eyes. She got herpes eyes.
Yep.
She's got herpes eyes. And then
herpes eyes.
I see you pussing out of your socket. Herpes eyes. You got so excited you have to rip open those amiibos right now. Let me see this. I can't wait to jizz on these later.
These aren't jizz figures. Jizz figures are made to look pornographic. Jesus Christ.
I don't know the way some of these people go over these things. And these are the plastics. Have you seen the plastics for it yet?
I didn't know there were plastics.
Yeah, they're doing a 20-man box set of multi-part plastics.
The fucking Bowman in the front is the best. He's like, grrr! and however you imagine my face to look when I made that noise, that's what the Bowman looks like.
Yeah, they're multi-part plastics. It's Mordheim. That's all this is yeah, fucking Mordheim. That's the fucking Empire box set. And they're also doing like their own version of...
These actually aren't that bad. The plastics?
Yeah.
They're actually not that bad. But I don't know. I don't actually...
That's like...
I've never collected a range of miniatures that were similar to this, like the Middle European kind of look.
Well,
so
but think about
to
it,
me, like, these are great. So.
Think about it this way. This set, though, like how they assembled it and painted it here, this is the best of the best that they could do with these figures. And they're not exciting or they make you go, ooh, in any way. So it's kind of like...
They're fucking Middle European minis. Like, how the fuck are you going to make those exciting at this point? every time they would redo the Empire for Warhammer Fantasy, it's just kind of like, what are you gonna do, make their sleeves poofier?
Yes, more poof. Yeah. More poof for the Empire.
So you know they're not exciting. They're serviceable, yeah, but they're not exciting miniatures because their content isn't exciting. It's like,
you know, that's exactly that, like, and I was trying to talk about the, with North Star. It's just like North Star basically is like, we have a bunch of minis, let's create a rule set around it. So it's like, this game's probably not going to be that great.
That's how Malifaux happened.
That's literally how Malifaux happened. North Star also...
Do you want Malifaux? This is how you get Malifaux.
It's true. North Star does their own Kickstarter. They're called a Nick Starter.
A Nick Starter?
Yeah. I think it's just they replaced the K is with that like Kickstarter.
Nick at Night?
With the N from North Star.
Do you remember Nick at Night?
Nick at Night's not gone anywhere. It's still there.
No shit. I don't have Nickelodeon.
But for $60 essentially, you get a wizard of your choice, the plastic box set.
A wizard.
Tokens and the rule book. So that's not actually bad, I guess.
In terms of starter, I mean, it's not $129 for 19 figures.
I was just at my local game store seeing that box set, and I turned to the guy I was playing games with, and I was like, imagine how many they would sell if the price point was like $75 on this.
How about the price point being, for 19 figures, how about the price point being 40?
Yeah, I mean, just...
That's what that should be. Look at it from a board game perspective. Zombicide, which
we're going to talk about that.
Like Zombicide. But
I do not like Zombicide.
Zombicide
either.
Has a fuck ton of figures, a fuck ton, and it's $100.
It's true. Like, some people actually cut holes out of the side of the box and fuck that box because that's how much they love that game.
It's true.
It's a fuck ton of figures.
It's true.
Yeah,
but they fucked a ton of figures.
They fucked a ton of figures, but. North Star is also doing their next thing that they're doing after this is they're going to do a Necromunda one. So.
Necromunga.
Now, they're at some
you know,
future wars.
They should release a very buff dude who kind of looks like Bruce Lee with a like wrap around his wrists, and they can name him the Fist, because then they have the Fist of the North Star, because they're the North Star miniatures.
I saw that anime.
It's pretty good.
I was a little weirded out by it. I also saw the live action version of that anime
with
Chris Penn.
Chris Penn.
Yeah. That movie was terrible.
It's fucking bad.
I was like,
someone else is in it too.
All I remember,
isn't the Kurgan in it? I think the
yes,
Kurgan,
he is. Clancy Brown.
I think the Kurgan is Rao, who's actually not a bad casting choice. But the movie was
I just
bad.
Remember watching that anime, and there was the thing where the guy like he pokes him in the stomach or the chest, and his head like, gets ready to explode, and then he has to wrap his head around so it doesn't explode.
That's Jaggy. He's dying. Because his pressure points are hit, but he knows the technique as well, so he like hits the counter pressure points. His head is all still fucking deformed and like veiny.
It's so stupid.
It's fucking awesome.
I was like, oh come on, man, this is dumb. this is that's the reason why I'm not.
That's only in the movie. That's not actually in the show. I don't know why they added it. They could have just left it like in the show, because in the show he hits him, the dude gets disfigured and doesn't die, and then he like comes back with a vengeance with an iron mask.
With a vengeance of the North Star.
Yeah, I don't know why they had to make it like have him like do like the weird like counterpoint thing. I was just like, why'd you do that? You just didn't kill him
because it was silly. So North Star, they're doing Necromunda next. I would love it if like they did. Like, all of the Warhammer games are discontinued. Like,
are we getting to Warmaster?
Don't Gorka Morka, Warmaster. They already doing a boat game.
The finest rule set.
The finest of rules. What, Gorka Morka? Are we talking Gorka Morka here?
No, we're talking about Warmaster. Warmaster is a really great rule set.
Hey, if you want a good Mad Max game, Gorka Morka is where it's at. Gorka Morka is probably the best Mad Max style game.
Isn't there, like, Dork Future? That's a thing.
Dark Future?
Yeah. I never played it. So.
Well, Dark Future is more like...
I saw some of the XGW employees were like jizzing themselves about Dark Future and fucking... And I was just like, you would.
You would. Car Wars.
Yeah. I don't know. I always find it interesting that like people could have split with the company and they still have like that kind of like Kool-Aid level love for Games Workshop.
Yeah.
And like how... It's like how can you... How, now that you, like you've seen the belly of the beast... How can you still have that rosy feel about GW?
Because
maybe they just had a great boss, and they weren't at the company long enough to like see it.
You either die a hero, or you
or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah, or live long enough to get fired from GW.
That's pretty much it.
You either leave the company early with $6,000 worth of bits orders,
and a garage full of sprues.
God, like me. Hey, selling all my 40K stuff paid for my trip to San Diego and my wife's wedding ring.
that is a good use for the 40K stuff sitting in the garage.
Yeah. I'm so glad I got rid of all of that. I mean, trust me, I sold it for actually probably undercut of what I probably could have got for it, but.
But you move it.
I moved it.
That's the point. You get to move it.
And I
like to move it.
The only thing I regret selling out of all of that is I had a lot of the old metal Imperial Guard figures.
Yeah, but you kept your squats.
Yeah, I don't. And now that I sold it, I'm kind of like, meh, I don't even care that much. It's a fuck that. But yeah, I'm hoping that that Osprey does all of the XGW games that no longer are in print because, well, all except Blood Bowl. Fuck that game.
Yeah, Blood Bowl sucks. Blood Bowl is one of the worst games I've ever seen.
But out of all of those,
people love it. I don't know why.
Yeah, out of all of them, people will still play the fuck out of Blood Bowl.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
Yeah.
I think that game's terrible, but
terrible.
Whatever. Yeah, I think it's a bad game. Like I don't think it's not minis, it's not the way it looks, it's not the fact that it is a fucking sportball game. I think that game is very, very poorly designed. I think it's bad in every sense of a game being bad. Blood Bowl is bad in that way.
Yeah,
if you like Blood Bowl, you like a really shitty game.
I think of it's just it's the team rules. It's like they're all just none of them are equal. Like they're just all shitty.
it's bad. Well, if they were all shitty, then it would be
okay.
It would be equal.
Yeah,
that's the hex problem.
I haven't played the hex problem.
Yeah, the hex card game problem. Yeah. It's like there's a couple schools of thought in game design, and one is the privateer school. Used to be where everything is broken.
Yeah.
Where everything in the game is broken. So because everything is broken, you get to play with super powerful shit, but nothing's unfair because my broken shit is just as broken as your shit, which is cool.
It's syndrome. When everyone's a superhero, no one's super.
Right.
No one's super.
But Hex, the card game, kind of has the opposite issue where all of the cards are shitty. Where like, it's like, this is a good card only by the merit that other cards are worse.
Yeah. Well, I can see that.
So I think that's a very poor and boring game design choice.
All right.
It's safer to do that though, because if you aren't trying to push the boundaries or the limits of your rules, it's unlikely you'll find a like an actual like bannable card.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's true. I mean, of anything, it's. You know, and that's, I'd rather have everything be shitty than one thing be like super good and then break the game.
I would rather have the break the game, but with a company that does errata and updates. Like that's the thing. That's the frustrating thing is because Privateer, I'll use Privateer again. I'm hammering them. I'll stick to them. they're a company that could easily issue FAQ, errata, and update for models if they thought they were too, like, if they release a model and it's too weak, they could just be like, here's the new card. Print it out, put it in, like, it's like that, like a snap of a finger. You have your fucking dude on your PDF document, digitally edit the card, mod some rules, change some points, fucking slap it in there. Done. You have a completely new fixed unit that's not shitty anymore. Or if something is broken, and they have done it, they did do it for a few minis that were totally busted. Like, but one of the biggest ones was actually an errata. They didn't change the card, so... You know, but they should be doing that frequently.
Yeah.
You know, their game's stagnated, though, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, like, here's Joe's bolt action corner for the week.
I don't believe it
at all. I just discovered the wonders of boltaction.net. It's kind of a huge community that's doing stuff, but they put out their own rule set.
So huge for Bolt Action, so there's like 35 guys on there?
Yeah, it's like 36 maybe. Yeah, a whole three score.
three score. That's good. Carry on.
But they actually said, hey, look, we're tired of fucking war games, Warlord games.
Warlord, yes.
Thank you. We're tired of Warlord games not fixing the rules. We've complained enough, and everyone has the same complaint. So here's our basic, and so they do seasons. So the first season rule set is just ending, and so now they're looking at everything, and now they're going to make errata again. So they're going to do a season two. Which is what Warlord Games should be doing. It's right. Not hard. They have a website. We live in the 21st century.
Right.
We should be doing this. And it's working out really good. Like, the changes that they made, they're kind of crowdsourced, kind of not. And they're not breaking the game. They're just making making it more interesting to play the game.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. And, like, why can't game companies just fucking do that?
Well, CCGs do.
Yeah.
There's probably some perfect game design out there
that we just not aware of.
That doesn't exist yet.
Is it Exilis? It's Exilis, isn't it?
It's definitely not Exilis. Although Exilis actually had some pretty cool figures. No, it's like CCGs. Every type of game generally
isn't it? It's Dust Tactics.
Yeah, it's Dust. every type of game has its own merits, but I think in terms of maintaining a competitive and fair, like, state, if you will. I'll just say Magic, because everyone knows that one. Magic has got it down as far as that goes. Like, the sets rotate, so yeah. if the format stagnates, such as, like, 6th edition, yeah, where everyone's playing Immune to Psych.
We've said 1,000 times.
2 years.
It would be near impossible for Magic to fuck up at this point. They have to, like, work really hard at fucking up in order to like, actually alienate players.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, straight from a design point. And no, like, people get sick of the format. Like, it gets stale, and people are like, well, this is stupid.
Yeah, but they always come back.
Right, because they know that the format's going to change.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that even if they did, like, they'd have to do years worth of shitty sets in order to get people to, like, swear off Magic for good.
Yeah, I mean, if Magic survived the Kamigawa block, I think they're going to be okay.
We should put that on a t-shirt. If Magic survived the Kamigawa block, think, and then a picture of a guy pushing up his glasses,
I think they're going to be okay. the Kamigawa block was hilarious. It was basically a weeaboo set done in the worst possible way. Like, all the mechanics, had cool names. Like, there was ninjutsu and bushido and stuff. You know, it should have been like a grand success, because everyone could be like, my immaculate katana blade attaches to my planeswalker, and then I use the power of Bushido to attack your life points directly.
But no, it was just bad.
Yeah, it was, all the mechanics were bad. So, like, it's like, wow, Bushido, that's a cool name. What's it do? That's terrible. That's really bad.
Why would I even use that?
Yeah. So you made this card worse by putting Bushido on it. Yeah, that's kind of how it was.
I will play my red block Oni.
Yeah. And there was one card out of the three sets that actually was worth any money. It's still worth money because it was actually broken.
Yeah.
It was actually a bannable card.
Yeah.
That's the only card that mattered. So, yeah, it was a little awkward. A little awkward. Mm. Kamigawa. There you go. And if anyone was waiting patiently for the return of Katana Guy.
There he goes. He hasn't shown up in a while.
He's on point right there.
This is actually a really good segue to bring that up. I'm proud of us. I think we deserve a Coke today. Nice. So
what about a Dr. Pepper? you know what? A Mr. Pibb.
I think we all deserve a DP. Everyone deserves DP.
I want an MP. I want a Mr. Pibb.
Oh, okay. You don't want some DP?
Pibb.
All right. So, but actually, speaking of Dust Tactics, they actually, they're shipping Wave 2 of that Kickstarter.
I thought they said they weren't.
Now they are.
Oh, I see. They changed their mind. Well, if that makes any, if there's any indication of that, I see that Games Plus must be mistaken that they're blowing out all of their Dust models.
Yeah, they're getting rid of them all.
Right, as I was saying, that they must be mistaken to blow out.
So mistaken that that game's coming back with a resurgence
in
now.
A big way.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what you were talking about there. But yeah, that's
my sarcasm was off.
Yeah, no, that's for some odd reason, whatever problems they were having, they resolved it. Now Battlefront is fucking jerking off Dust Studios.
Someone from Fantasy Flight is reading that, and they're just like, whew, just wiping the sweat off their brow, like, whoo, dodge that bullet.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking Dust, man.
Rolling around in their Star Wars minis, pile Star Wars minis.
That Dust was a huge disappointment to me. A personal disappointment.
It's just, fucking, just give me the license. I got $20 in my pocket. Give me the license to Dust. Let me take care of it, and I will make that game fucking amazing. No, I won't. I'd fucking drive it in.
It would just be, you would just be sitting alone in your room with all your Dust toys, like,
yes! Rolling around.
Yeah, rolling around in your Dust toys, fucking swimming in them like Scrooge McDuck. You spit out a bunch of models.
We're rich. Like a hurricane in Duckburg.
Oh, you should have remixed it for Dust. It's easy. Dustburg. Like, super easy setup.
Dust Tales. Woo!
See? It's a super easy setup.
Yeah, no,
you dropped the ball.
I did. You were absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Oh, man. Oh, mercy.
Sherman's aeroplane.
Random segue.
Lasers, airplanes. I was talking. Dust blur.
You can't save it
My
now.
By Hitler or Mussolini.
You can't save
Dust
it now.
Tales. Woo. No,
you can't save it now.
Okay. Why did it take us that long to come up with Dust Tales? I mean, we've been literally talking about Dust in this podcast for 3 years, and it took us this long to come up with it.
Because I don't know, I don't think about Dust often.
I know, but I mean, seriously,
do you think about Dust often?
I think we failed not only our fans but ourselves.
No, that was the only time it was a progressive segue into Dust with DuckTale reference.
I know, but I mean,
because the stars never aligned before, and you blew it.
I did.
You blew our 3 year opportunity. It's over. We could have gotten into like page 74 of an iTunes list of podcasts that someone might listen to someday.
Someone might. We got a new comment on the iTunes just recently.
Ooh,
nothing fancy, but it was just it was a very positive review.
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't care about those.
Yeah, you know,
I only want to hear about ones where it's like, you guys are fucking idiots.
You just suck. This is the worst 20 minutes I wasted of my life listening to this podcast.
Fuck off. Wankers. Every time I see someone type wankers, I like, you know, if they were to hear it, they'd be like, wanker, you know, but every time I just look at it and I just go,
wankers. I dated a girl before I got married years ago who would, she was American, but she'd always use like British slang and it drove me nuts. It was part of the reason we broke up.
Did she have British parents?
No.
That's weird.
Yeah, she was just as Polish as I was. And it was
she'd just say wankers?
No, she'd say like wankers.
I'd say wankers. I've said bollocks.
Yeah, she would say,
because bollocks is fun to
but
say.
But you don't say it like regularly.
Oh,
like
no.
She would say like, oh, bloody hell. And I'm like, you grew up on the west side of Chicago. Like, what the fuck's your problem?
Yeah, I've never cared for bloody hell.
And but I mean, that was amongst the other things that she would say, like bollocks and wankers all that stuff. And I'd just be like, this is worse than like dating a weeaboo, you know?
It's British like culture. It's worse than weeaboo.
I'm just saying, like, if she was actually British, it would be okay. But she's not. She's from Chicago.
She was randomly co-opting British colloquialisms.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the worst way of the worst Anglophile way of living that you could possibly ever
really
live.
Weird.
Yeah, I was not a big fan of it.
Really weird.
Yeah. So,
fuck off. That's pretty British.
Fuck
actually,
off.
Fuck off. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I've said fuck off numerous times before I even knew it was British. I think it's universal.
Yeah. Well, I think it is, but they definitely rock the fuck off
in
the UK. It's, you know, in almost all my favorite random YouTube videos with British people in it. Fuck off is usually in there. Sometimes followed by wanker. Yeah, there was a little kid. There was a fucking monkey on the car, and he's like, oh look, Brendan, look at the monkey on the car. And the kid just leans over and looks, and he's like, fuck off, wanker. And the kid was like three. It was awesome. Good stuff.
All right, so let's.
I hit something else. I lost it.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Let's move on. I want to talk about something about how Cool Mini or Not is killing the games industry.
I don't remember. He
besieged?
Posted on our, no, the dude posted on our wall to talk about Kickstarter's effect on the gaming industry. And I'd like to hear what you feel about it, and then I will give my two cents.
I think right now, basically all Kickstarter is doing is just creating a culture of low expectations.
Lowered expectations.
So I mean, you have Mega Man shipping late, Robotech is coming out super slow, amongst a thousand other Kickstarters that are not delivering on time, or you know, years, not months late. It's a lowered expectation. No one's going into these things thinking they're going to get their stuff on time. In fact, the only ones that ever come on time are Cool Mini or Not, because they're actually, all of their stuff is already done. This is just one big pre-ordering platform for them.
I always come on time.
You do. I don't know if you have, you know, what's your opinion on it?
All right, so I think there's a lot of Kickstarters that are delayed and stuff. I feel that the delays are unacceptable if it's a pre-existing company.
Yes, I completely agree.
I'll bring up the Kickstarter, the highly anticipated game that is coming very soon, apparently, Kingdom Death. That game is a year behind.
Yeah,
I think, give or take.
Not as long as I think the record, which I think was Ogre.
I think the Ouya took a really long time to come out.
No, but I'm saying in gaming and the board Ogre. Games. Yeah.
also, Monster.
You
guys
talk about Ogre?
Monster is 16 pounds.
Yeah, it's.
I actually don't have any issue with the fact that it's taken this long, because it looks great. The quality looks like it's going to be there. Now, if the quality sucks, that would blow. I'd be annoyed by that, but I don't think so.
Oh, nerds.
Because I think Adam Poots is pretty close to being like a perfectionist.
Yeah, I mean, they're not cutting any corners. Yeah, I've been following that Kickstarter too. I didn't order it, but I've been following
it. No corners cut. It's going to look great. I'm super excited about it. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I don't mind that it's taking this long, because
the only
thing he's done is made like resin figures.
You think we could commission him to do like Game Classy figures, like resin sculpts of me and you?
You know, I bet we could have done it if we donated enough to the Kickstarter.
I don't want to do that.
Well, it's too late now.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe we could.
Yeah. Just
sell it. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about it.
It's like you.
A lot of hands.
Yeah. No, I would have the cape of hands. No, I would want a wing. Wings, two giant wings made of hands. Nice. And you would just...
Would they be made of small hands, or would they just be two giant hands as wings?
Oh, no, two giant hands. Mm. And you would, of course, just be a normal top half, but your bottom half would just be like eye stalks that go down into like...
And end in dicks?
Yeah, end in dicks. There you go.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
I'd be like a beholder, but with dicks. That's what I want.
A dick holder.
A dick holder. Actually, I think that'd be right up as it design alley, actually. Just like the torso, like a floating torso of a dude with little gross, like stubby arms, and then like he has fucking dick tentacles coming out of his back.
No, that's what it's just your head, your giant head with fucking dicks coming
out. Yeah, there we go. Dick tentacles. I'm in. Then they'll
Steve the dick holder.
Dick holder.
It's a dick holder.
It's D-I-K-O-L-D-E-R. Dick holder.
And it's just like, it's just, what does he do in the game? Well, he just floats around and insults your favorite game. That's all he does.
Can I attack him?
Nope. he laughs off your attacks.
That thing is still behind the party. It fucking ruins all your stealth rolls. Like, what are you doing? Stealth check. That's stupid. Why don't you play a real game like Dark Age? Get out of here.
Get out of here, yeah.
Yeah. Get out of here, kid. So I don't really mind about that being delayed. But, like, Robotech, Palladium, I mean, Kevin Sambedia is pretty crazy, but he's been in the industry since the fucking 80s. Like, he should understand logistics of making games.
He does.
Yeah, you know, so like they should have had a realistic, and I think a lot of it too is there's unrealistic projections.
I think he had unrealistic projections of how good Robotech would do, how well Robotech would do.
Yeah, there could be that. And also I think a lot of the companies that exist that are having delays, I think they have, there's two things that they're missing. One, they're not expecting the game to do very well, or they're expecting it to be like a 5 and it comes out at a 10 or a 20 and they're like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
The other issue I think is, I think they might be a little overzealous in how quick there's going to be turnaround. Because I have a few, you know, there's a few of the games that were delayed, and I'm just like, I looked at what time it was supposed to come out, and I'm like, that's really optimistic.
Yeah.
It's like, that means that, like, the day you have the Kickstarter money, you pass it along, and it goes into production, gets boxed, and shipped.
Dun, 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 dun,
with no problem anywhere along the line.
Yeah, and once again, I just
Then you get things like Torn Armor, where the fucking company that's supposed to make the figures just steals your money.
No, that was their own damn fault for giving that money to fucking was it not Dreamforge?
It was before Defiance.
War Games
it was Defiance
Factory.
It was Defiance. But it was before all the Defiance shenanigans.
Yeah, I know.
It was so. Yeah.
Anyway, but real quick Kickstarter. I saw these. I kind of liked them. They'd be terrible.
They're
for
so stupid. I saw these too on Tabletop Gaming News.
Yeah, it's like the only
problem. Hero Dice Warrior Set.
They're nice looking, but I don't think they would roll proper. I don't think you'd get, like, good balance on that.
I think they're the stupidest fucking dice I've ever seen in my life.
I like them. I think they're cute. I think they're clever. Like,
yeah, I don't no.
Steve's not, no. not having it.
No, I'm not. No, I'm out. I'm done. I'm out.
It's a four-sided dagger.
Yeah.
You get little daggers.
Actually, you know what? The dagger, that's legit.
What about the fist, the 10-sided gauntlet?
I just don't think those dice are going to roll.
No, they're not going to roll properly. That's my...
it's just, they're... Yeah, the
they're
dagger...
They're not actually that good looking when you actually when you, get... When you see, like, the way that they look. They're kind of like, meh.
Yeah, I just don't... I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
But, yeah.
But, you know, some people like those kind of... I guess I also have a hatred of novelty dice in general, so... That's not a
hated the saga dice.
Yeah, the fucking D32.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Fuck
wanker.
Off. Fuck off, wanker.
Nope, wanker.
Wanker. So fuck off, wanker. Here,
fuck off, you wanker.
Oh, that's the dog's bollocks. So we have
bananas in pajamas are coming down the stairs. Bananas in pajamas are coming down in pairs.
I'm glad my daughter was born after bananas in pajamas was the thing.
But they were cute. They were bananas and they were in pajamas.
They were. Yeah. All right. So I kind of agree just that. You have to admit that all Kickstarter does is just lowers expectations of what they're promising versus what you're going to get. The only good thing that...
Not necessarily content, but definitely like how it's going to get to you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying content and is more about like production value.
Oh, right.
Like figures are not going to look that good. My number one thing that I could possibly say to people is that if a model is 3D on the Kickstarter, it will look nothing like that model when you get it.
Yeah, for the most part.
It will be in a cheap resin.
Although, Soda Pop, the Forgotten King, they look like their 3D models.
But they're an established company. And we were talking about, like, most established companies like Soda Pop.
They're using it as a pre-sale?
Yeah. And but that's what I wanted to talk about with fucking Cool Mini or not, the game company that's been around since 2001. I just found that out the other day. I'm like, fuck, 2001, yeah. Shit. And people tend to forget that their company is based off of the old Hot or Not model, like the whole website.
You remember Hot or Not?
I do remember Hot or Not. That was awesome back in the day. Hot, not. Why is it 1 through 10? There should just be a 1 and a 10. That's all that there matters.
Well, that they have that now. That's Tinder.
Yeah. But I'm saying back in the day on the Hot or Not website.
Also Grindr.
That's just for preachers and Republican candidates.
who really, really, really say the gay community is awful.
Yes. Because they're on Tinder, because they're on Grindr, and they don't get any hits. That's the reason why they don't like the gay community.
They keep getting shut down. That's good.
That's good.
It's good.
But Cool Mini or not, they just finished up their, I think, fourth Kickstarter in 4 months. They just finished up Besieged, which is their castle defense game.
You know, and to be honest though, a lot of the cool, like, you know, you can say that like they're using it a lot, but I'll be honest, with the exception of Zombicide, the cool mini or not games, they don't sell.
Well,
and it's not that it's not just they don't sell. It's like people don't even ask about them.
They don't.
So I think they have how they're going to make the money off their games, and they're focusing it that way.
Well, yeah, because they did Besieged, and that made $567,000. That's still a lot of money.
Oh yeah,
$567,000. Then they did World of Smog. That was a couple months back. That one I don't think did as well. That one was just like the steampunk with right. The busts. It's Steve. Why did you think that would ever work? No, that one only did 101,000. Rum and Bones.
It's just whimsy.
it's got a rat in his head.
It's fucking great.
And then you got Rum and Bones. Rum and Bones did 700. Blood Rage did the best. I think Blood Rage is 900,000. Mm. And that was just the ripoff of what the game
you're Fire and Ice.
Fire and Ice, yeah. But I mean, the figures were cool, at least.
Or Sword and Axe. Fire and Sword and Axe.
Fire and Sword. Sword and Ice.
I think it's Axe and Sword. I don't know. The fucking other Viking game. IDW, goddamn.
Blood and Crows. We could write millions of Viking games.
Blood and Crows.
Wolf and Seal.
Butts
I don't
and
know.
Beards.
Butts and
Beards.
Oh, the Viking Grinder
back
game.
Back to Grinder.
But yeah, I'm not. It's just. It's kind of. And plus, then it just ended. BC's just ended today. June is when they're launching Zombicide Medieval, the whatever it's called, the Black Plague.
Medieval
or,
side?
Yeah, medieval zombies or zombies.
I don't know who keeps buying all these games because that game's really not that good.
Well, I could see, okay.
It's pretty bad, actually.
I could see the medieval Zombicide before I could see Zombicide Season 2, Season 3.
Yeah, you know. Well, which is actually kind of interesting because there's a game called Dead of Winter, which is...
huge.
Everything you wanted Zombicide to be and were disappointed by, Dead of Winter is that game. And if you like Zombicide, you'll probably really like Dead of Winter.
Dead of Winter is huge. People still talk about that on forums.
It's because it's sold out everywhere. It's super in demand.
I played it. I was like, okay. I get it.
It's fun. It's the game I wanted Zombicide to be. It's much better version.
My only problem with Dead of Winter is it's not a game that I would bring like to my friends and be like, we're playing this game today. My gaming group, like,
don't they need like chutes and ladders and
yeah, I have my gaming group and my friends. Okay,
Candyland.
I consider my gaming group my friends, but they're like posted into the gaming group side of things. Like, I could talk about stuff with them and be like, you know, percentages and strategies. And my friends, I'm like, okay, you need to roll the dice and move your little figure. If I brought out a
game, can I move in any direction I want?
No, there's a line. You could literally see the line. I could bring that to all my gaming friends, lay out a game, and just be like, they would get every concept, like most of the basic concepts right off the bat. Like certain things that they'd be like, okay, game terms. Like a good example is Chaos in the Old World, the board game, Chaos in the Old World. It took us, I think, maybe like 10 minutes of like feeling it out before we got it. And we're like, okay, great. We played through it. It was fun. We played a couple games of it. It was great. If I brought that game to my friends, I would spend at least 4 hours with them explaining the rules. And then they'd get mad at me saying like, well, you didn't explain this rule. I'm like, well, fuck, for fuck's sake, come on. Do you want me to explain how to beat the game? Because I can explain how to beat the game if you want me to. Do you want me to explain how to beat the game to you?
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
But that's exactly it. Zombicide is probably one of those games I could bring to my friends and be like, okay, you're running away from the zombies.
They're zombers. This one's fast because it's running.
It's a zombie.
This one's slow because it's walking. This one's tough because it's big.
Because he's big.
Done.
What about that one with the spikes? What does he do? He hits you with the spikes.
And he's very tough.
He's very tough.
You can only kill him with the rockets. The rockets.
Do me a favor. All of the rule books are online. Go get the rule book. Read through it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, as an aside, someone was talking about it affecting the industry. I can give that a resounding no.
No. The industry is all magic.
and board games.
Well, Magic CCGs, and Legend, Settlers of Catan.
Well, Magic is like...
By the way, your Cryptozoic thing from a couple weeks back it actually is making news now. I think Cryptozoic signed with some company right now.
Yeah, it's a PSI.
PSI thing.
Yeah, they'll be open to they'll be open to every distributor except for not except Alliance. They'll be open to every distributor in addition
to Alliance. Yeah,
anyone that has an agreement with PSI, that is. But no, the board games are a phenomenon at this point. There's just so, like, a new hot board game will come out, and it's just a gotta-have-it item, and it just fucking sells. Magic it's, is a...
Well, is there any formula to finding out what that game is? Because sometimes I just can't, I can't figure it out. Like,
I called shot. I've yet to miss on any of my board gaming predictions, like, or my game predictions. Like, we had a...
Like, okay, I get Armada. Like, I knew Armada was going to be a huge seller.
Well, yeah. And my company thought Imperial Assault was going to be really big, and they were not talking at all about Armada. And I'm like, Armada is going to be much bigger than Imperial Assault. And, like, I was like trying to explain that to him. And lo and behold, I was absolutely right. We've been through our run of Armada twice, and we still have our initial run of Imperial Assault.
However, I finally got to, like, actually, like, sit down and, like really, like, manhandle the Imperial Assault figures. Those are actually really nice quality, I have to admit.
I wasn't knocking it as a point of the game, just because what the game is.
Oh yeah, but
I'm just saying
in terms of, like, I just thought it was, like, going to be, like, really cheap and plasticky. It's actually, like, really nice.
Fantasy Flight, they usually don't shit out on their components.
No. Fantasy Flight is the king of component porn.
Apparently that's like the dude, the head honchos, like, the people will bring him a game and he'll be like, "Yeah, all right. Needs more stuff." like needs more pieces, needs more components.
Like what we need is, awesome, we need 16 sheets of little tokens that you can punch out. Can we do this?
Yes. I'd like little crown.
Yeah, like a little crown here. Yeah, like a little crown. Which I appreciate. I would love that.
But
I'd be the same way.
Magic keeps your doors open.
Yeah.
And what I mean is, like, it's like, you, if you're a game store, you stock Magic, period. Because it's like, what?
Is this like, is this like a dinner mat? Do you eat your dinner off this?
That's called a play mat.
There's a little anime girl in there.
Mm-hmm. It is unfortunately not for a clan that I play, so I'll probably be trading it.
Will you put that on a pillow? Perhaps
she's not naked enough. Actually, there is one anime sex body pillow I really actually want. It's a centaur girl.
Nice.
It's the best thing ever. It's like an oversized deluxe, and it's just a fucking centaur. I would put it right in front of the couch, so if anyone wanted to, they could just sit and just, you know, lean on it. And the best thing about it is, they're in the advertisement for it, there's a little, like, what would you, like, a stick figure man, and the stick figure man is interacting with the pillows and all the ways you could do it. So, like, one, he's, like, got it between his legs and he's, like, holding on, it's, like, riding it, and then he's like leaning back and he's got his elbow, like, resting on the back of the pillow. I'll post it on the Game Classy Facebook.
You know that there's at least one World War II veteran who would see you with that going, "God damn it, we fought a war for this."
No, they're all dead. Fuck them. They're all dead. What are they going to do? Fight World War II again?
I, like, you say that as we post this the day before Memorial Day.
Yes. Topical.
Yes. Anyway, so where were we on the...
the anime sex body pillows?
Yeah, but before the anime sex body, I was looking at this, and then we were talking about Magic keeping
Magic,
the doors open. Yeah,
Magic keeps the doors open. You know, it's a game you stock. It sells constantly. But diversity is the real power of a gaming store. And what Magic can give you is, it can give you that buying power to diversify your stock. And then when a set comes out and it's not that great, like the last two Magic sets have been it gives you that, you know, people can come into your store and buy things.
Yeah. Like, well, and I like, completely agree. I think it's death to stock miniatures. your best stocking board games and having a good collection of board games.
And yeah, you could. The thing with minis is, you could do minis, but if you want to do minis, you have to do it right.
You have to support the fuck out of it.
You have to have every SKU. Yeah. Period. Like, if you don't stock every SKU, don't bother.
Yeah.
And if you're and that means that you have to be willing to, like, essentially have $30,000 of capital to just blow, because that's what you're going to spend on stocking all the miniature SKUs.
Yeah. I mean, from the business side, that's the way. But from, like, the store way, is, like, you stock a game. Let's say you make that jump and you stock Dust. You have to have a Dust League. You have to do Dust demo games. You have to do this. You have to have Dust display models.
It's a massive commitment.
You have to do that stuff.
And you need game tables.
Yeah, you need game tables.
And card tables and game tables are not the same.
No. So you have to get your ass in gear and take care of that.
Get your ass to Mars.
Get your ass to Mars. I saw the preview for Genesis in front of Mad Max. That movie looks so bad, Steve.
Oh, man, I'm so excited about it.
It just looks terrible on every level.
Well, then you're not going to let you already hate it, so it doesn't matter.
I know. It just looks so bad.
Doesn't matter. If you go in hating it already, you're going to hate it no matter how good it ends up being.
I know. Well, I got the dick holder behind me going, idiot. Why are you going to see that movie?
Oh, I can't wait. That movie's going to be badass. I've liked all the like people shit on the third Terminator. Hang on. Whoa. Before I get ahead of myself, I've liked all of the Terminator movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
All right. like, let me just get that out of the way.
You didn't like Salvation?
Good for you. So good.
I like how that's the only thing people are ever going to remember from that fucking movie.
Yeah, that's the movie. Good for you. Right. Yeah, so I'm excited. I know people shit on Rise of the Machines, but I thought the movie was fun as fuck. Yeah. So back to the things. I understand it might look like it, and I do think that Kickstarter will make and does make store owners shy away from stocking games.
Yeah.
You know, if I saw like
there's nothing wrong with stocking Zombicide because it's such a hot game
Right. Like, well, Zombicide is that, like, if you look at Zombicide's Kickstarter numbers, you would think it's a game that has no room for retail sale, but it does. It totally does.
Well, that's just because
I think games like that one you just described, and the other one with the fucking steampunk busts.
Yeah,
why do you think that would work? Those are gonna not go to the retail store.
Rum and Bones, though.
But zombies are also just fucking super hot right now. Like zombies themselves, like, it's super popular.
So hot.
Zombies are so hot right now. Oh my god, I'm so hot.
Multiplayer online battle arena figures. You don't think those are gonna take off? No one wants to play the board game version of fucking Mobus? League of Legends or whatever.
I think no.
I think if I want to create a script for my computer browser for like Chrome, that anytime League of Legends shows up in anything I read, it just replaces it with League of Douchebags. I just want that word to like just replace League of Legends, because I just can't stand it. It shows up in everything I read.
Yeah, it's awful.
Fuck that game.
At least we can hate that together.
We can hate that together.
Because that sucks.
It just In Counter-Strike Global...
MLG Pro!
In Counter-Strike Global Offensive. That also shows up in everything I fucking read.
It's also known as CSGO.
I am aware of CSGO, yes.
I am aware of it. I've heard of it. And I don't approve it.
No, I do not. All right, so that's about it for the week. Do you have any other? Do we have any other gaming news?
I'll get into it. We can do more on Kickstarters in the gaming industry next week next cast.
Why, you got something else?
No, just I think there's more. I think there's a lot of ground to cover, and I don't want to get too involved on one topic.
Yeah, I mean it's
we can just, you know,
we talk about Kickstarters a lot on this podcast. Yeah, just because it's important.
It's a huge part of the fucking gaming industry at this point.
Every smaller Kickstarter that I've backed, that I've gotten, I have been just incredibly happy with, though. I mean, I did Drinking Quest. I did Tiny Epic Kingdoms. I've been very happy with all of that stuff I've gotten. From, you know, a couple, like, odds and ends, some dice stuff.
Those are actually the best Kickstarters to look at. And also, you should look at those as a retailer, because they're cheap games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's a big... you know, a big point for them, because, you know, when you're like as a retailer and you want to buy Zombicide, you're kind of sticking your neck out there if you buy more than one copy.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of money. But with like Drinking Quest and like the smaller style games, is you can get six copies for the cost of that one Zombicide. And then you sell it and you're like, all right, no, we'll see if this is what your opportunity cost is way less.
Yeah. And I don't understand why retailers, when they get games in, they don't promote the games.
Like, you know why? It's because it's hard to keep fucking track, and it's hard to not hard to keep track of what you're getting, but it's hard to keep up.
Well, yeah,
like Elysium is, I'll give you a perfect example. There's a new board game from Asmodee called Elysium that actually had a pre-release. It's the first board game pre-release I've ever seen. Retailers get the game 2 weeks before it's allowed to be listed on Amazon or sent to any other retailer,
like Target or whatever.
Well, no, it's not going to be a Target,
but I'm just saying, but yeah.
So they have it 2 weeks early. It's really weird. Like, it's a pre-release for a board game.
Yeah, but no one's talking about it.
Right, because, I mean,
unless you've played it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
It's hard to keep it up. But once you have it in hand, like, I talked to a game store retailer, and he's like, oh, yeah, this is how the game plays. It's like this game. This is what I can suggest it to, and, like, you know, I can get people into it on those grounds. Because a lot of times, when you're buying a game you've never played. Yeah, as a retailer, you've never heard of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, for example, that's how I got into Super Dungeon Explorer, was one time on fucking Facebook, one of the game stores that I go to said, hey, we're going to do a demo of this game tonight. Come by if you want to learn how to play it or you just want to see it. And I was like, oh, I already seen it. I was kind of interested in it. I went there and played it, and I was like, oh, this game's a ton of fun. I like this a lot. Okay, so I picked it up. I'm like, that's all you got to fucking do. Is you gotta say, like, hey,
that sounds easy, but yeah, there's a lot of time commitment involved. There's scheduling. You know, if you're a one man store,
well, yeah,
you know, you can't always dedicate to, and you can't dedicate it to every game.
No. But I mean, like, if you're a smaller store and you want to carry something, that's like a great way to. I mean, fuck it. How often did we do that when we worked for Games Workshop? Demo games every fucking day,
constantly. You have to, but you get one sale of a starter set after 120 demo games.
Yeah, every fucking wiener kid that comes in, you know.
Now go get your ma, kid.
Go get your ma.
Hopefully she's wearing tight jeans.
Yeah.
Beck's mom. Beck's mom had it going on.
Grandpa kid's grandpa. What?
Grandpa kid. Oh, man. Fucking Games Workshop employee in jokes. Oh, man.
My hermit crab is dead.
Fucking hermit crab. I put some Tyranid pieces on it. It did not survive.
I hope he listens to this podcast.
No, it's impossible.
Impossible.
It's impossible. Oh, dolor mi estomago.
Renegados.
The Renegados.
When I go old school, we talk about the Renegados. All right.
Oh, and I'm looking forward to another rousing Force of Will tournament next week.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a great game.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
All right. Well, anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at
Game Classy.
Like the Facebook page / Game Classy.
Klasky.
It's Polish.
Are we a fucking Klasky character in a National Lampoon Chicago movie? My name's Dave. Dave Klasky.
Dave Klasky.
You got any sausage? Beef sandwich?
Can we call ourselves the Klasky Brothers? I'm Joe Klasky. This is Steve Klasky.
Yeah, there we go. We're the Klasky Brothers.
The Klasky Brothers. From Chicago, we like eating sausage. And
from Chicago, you know.
Italian beef. I like my Italian beef, and I like my Italian sausage. I like them separate. Steve likes them together.
It's... People think Giordano's is the best deep dish.
They're fucking idiots.
Stupid.
It depends. If you're from the north side of Chicago, you'll like Pequod's the best.
Everyone knows it's loose.
It's loose. I agree. It's loose deep dish is the best.
It's loose deep dish.
I'm sorry. I think loose deep dish is the best. It's the crust. That's what it is.
Yep.
I can't. Giordano's crust is too soggy.
It's loose.
I got to loose is nice and crispy. Yep. I don't know. I've never had Pequod's deep dish, so I'm a little off on
same,
that.
Same, yeah.
One.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's that one place with the fucking killer pork chop sandwiches, and I can't remember what it is. It's
called Hog Wild. It's right down in South Pulaski.
It's not Hog Wild. It's a fucking little like diner place.
Yeah, it's Hog Wild. That's the name of it. Hog Wild. I just drove past Bremen.
The place
it's
by, right it's Bremen. By Chinatown?
Oh no, this is in Southside.
Okay,
Chicago.
Yeah, this is like a little like it kind of looks like a White Castle.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't remember. It's probably like fucking like Mel's Lunch or something. And then there's the White Palace.
Yeah, White Palace. Yeah, and White Palace is all right. I just went to a place the other day. I went to a Sultan's Market. You ever been there? Got myself some shawarma. It was good.
Shawarma's good. Have you been to Felony Frank's, home of the misdemeanor wiener?
Felony Frank's used to be right across from where I worked.
Oh, nice.
Literally across the street.
Is it gone?
The original location was closed because the alderman, Bob Fioretti, threw an absolute shit fit over a place that was hiring ex-cons and calling it Felony Frank's. And they had to close because he was not letting them like put up any signs or anything.
What a dickhead.
Oh, it was it cost the city like thousands of dollars, cost the neighborhood thousands of dollars because of that. And so they ended up moving to a different location and opening up. It's just
still being called Felony Frank's.
Yeah, but let me tell you this. Felony Frank's also an awful fucking restaurant. It took them fucking forever to get me a goddamn order of chicken wings.
Oh, chicken wings? Why would you go to a place called... All right. I understand that the service might have been great, but it's your own fault. You went to a place called fucking Felony Frank's, home of the misdemeanor wiener.
Steve, and I worked across the street from it. How often do you think I went there for misdemeanor wieners?
All the time, and yes. It should have been 100%.
Okay.
It shouldn't have been 99.99.
I'm just saying, I went to Felony Frank's. Quarter. Well, you are getting a lesson in Chicago fucking food design this podcast.
Yeah, that's that's good. And do you hear the Superdog?
The guy died. I was gonna say he got killed.
No, he did. He did not get killed. He just died. He was an old man.
Superdog is okay.
I like Superdogs. Yeah. I love the fucking. I remember when I was a kid, the best thing was seeing that giant Tarzan wiener and their neon green relish.
I like Gene and Jude's.
Oh yeah, Gene and Jude's great. But yeah. Gene and Jude's is kind of. Gene and Jude's is not a Chicago dog.
No,
but it's
not.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I'm not always I don't always like the full Chicago dog. Sometimes I want something a little different. Sometimes I like a Detroit dog. That's good as well.
Whoa.
Yeah. Or Coney.
This is the robust taste they enjoy in Albuquerque.
Corn relish.
It's good.
Yeah, actually, I saw a French style hot dog the other day. It was actually what they
said. On a baguette.
It's on a baguette.
Nice.
With shredded Gruyere cheese put in a broiler. It looked really good.
Sounds pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
I got to tell anyone listening, if you ever come to Chicago, dodge the bullets and get food.
Yeah. Dodge the bullets. I actually drove by the.
There's a reason the Midwest is fat, and it's the entirety of the Midwest being fat is because of Chicago.
Pretty much. Actually, it's Wisconsin cheese, but yeah, that makes its way down to Chicago.
That's right. We run raiding parties to Wisconsin to get their cheese.
I had to tell my wife the other day, this was a while ago when we were first. I think it was early in our marriage. She had made fish and she had put cheese on it, and I said, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And I'm like, she's like, well,
I didn't make a noise, but I had a very horrified look in my face.
It was like, I think she put Parmesan on some salmon. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? Why are you putting Parmesan on salmon? She goes, I thought it would be different. It'd be taste. I go, no, you don't put cheese on fish. I know you love, she puts cheese on fucking everything.
Cheese on fish.
I know.
Well, that's fucking gnarly, dude.
However, I do like a slice of orange American cheese on my
apple pie.
No, on my fish sandwich from McDonald's.
Well, that's hardly fish. That's, they call it fish.
The Filet-O-Fish with the slice of orange American cheese on it is
life's a fillet of fish.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Yeah. So anyway,
The Muppets movie was great, by the way. The one with Ricky Gervais.
Oh, the second one? Yeah, Muppets Most Wanted.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I laughed my ass off.
I can't wait for the TV show. It looks like it's going to be awesome.
I think Muppet nostalgia has I think we've reached peak Muppet.
It looks awesome.
I don't know. Since
when did we switch and I became the positive one and you became the negative one?
I know. It's just anything that comes to nostalgia, I have to do one toe.
But that's
in.
The thing, it's not the Muppet show.
It's a
new thing with Muppets.
But I mean, like, the original Muppet Show was so classic. I mean, I always,
which is why it's smart that they're not trying to do the same fucking show.
Yeah, but I love that format. I mean, like, are they getting celebrities?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to see. I want to see how they're doing the format, because that episode of
hopefully Count Von Count's on there
with it's Sesame Street. But that episode of
you guessed
the Muppet Show with Vincent Price. Where they did the ghosts, and the ghost sang "I'm Looking Through You," the Beatles song. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. It's, "I'm looking through you, where have you gone?" It's just a fucking ghost singing it. I cannot stop laughing every time I see that.
Blah!
Blah! That's a good classic episode. I love that the Muppets Most Wanted, where they do the Christoph Waltz with Christoph Waltz.
Yes.
And I was like, this is what I want in a
and
Muppet
now
movie.
The Christoph Waltz.
I want bad puns with celebrities. That's what I want.
Yeah, that's good.
And Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta. Yeah, there's a great pod. I started listening to a podcast on the way to work.
What's that?
It's called I Was There Too.
Yeah.
It's a dude, he's an improv comedian, maybe, I don't know, I don't really know about him, but he interviews someone who's in a famous movie, in a famous scene in the movie, or sequence, but not a star of the movie.
Oh.
It's pretty awesome. So he, he did interview Vasquez from Aliens, arguably a star of that movie.
Yeah.
That's an A star.
Yeah.
Right. So that's, and he interviewed.
So is she a woman?
Vasquez? I don't know. Are you? The
thank you for that. This has been Game Klasky Theater.
God damn it.
C-L-A-S-K-I.
I know, K. It's got to start with a K.
That's what I say. Oh, Klasky with the K.
Yes,
okay.
Klasky with
the K. K-L-A-S-K-I.
Yes, Klasky.
Klasky.
Now, we could probably throw a C in there somewhere, like in the middle of the word. Be like, no, you idiot. It's Klasky. It's not Clack-key.
C-L-A-C... S-C... No, C-S-K-Y. There you go.
There we go.
I.
And then he's got a couple other ones. He interviewed the person who did the stunt doubling for Exorcist. I can't remember her name.
Linda Blair.
I think Eileen Dietz is her name. No, Linda Blair didn't do shit.
I know.
Eileen Dietz did everything. Eileen Dietz did the scene. And apparently Eileen Dietz's manager, sister, or some relation has the cross.
Ew. Yeah. That's gross.
Mm.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like your microphone stand erupting.
Straight erectus, up. Erectus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very arousing.
I'm going to do this like this, like gangsta style now.
I don't think it's, I think that's like NPR.
NPR. Welcome to NPR.
It's your fucking asthma.
Talk like this. All right. So I think, go to, best way you can help the podcast, go to iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also go to YouTube's and listen to us there at our channel, Game Klasky Podcast. I'm not going to put any clickbait titles on this one, so...
You didn't do it on the last one either.
No, I didn't either.
You big jerk.
It's funny, once, going twice, it's like, okay, now I'm just killing the joke. I will do it again if need be, if the situation arises. Also listen to any of the other podcasts, Pat's Retro Video Game Review Patcast, also known as Play On.
Oh, good. Good for you.
Where they talk about video games, like probably Witcher
CSGO.
3.
CSGO.
It's CSGO. League of Legends.
League of Legends.
No, I guarantee you this new episode is going to be all about Witcher 3.
Yeah, I got to pick
I don't think it's
up.
Out yet.
It is.
The new podcast.
Just came out.
The podcast.
No. I was talking about Witcher.
Witcher 3 just came out, yeah.
I think I want to get that game.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Witcher series.
I never played the first two, but I have heard a couple people say, like, hey, you don't need to have played the first two. And this one's apparently really good. So.
All right, I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be on sale during the Steam sale. You know, for a little cheaper.
It will eventually. I mean, it's the Steam sale.
Yeah.
Some shit happens.
Well, I mean, but I'm just saying, like, I don't want to pay full price for a video game.
They actually reward you pretty heftily for doing that.
What do you get?
CD Projekt Red. So I was talking to Joe, and he's like, yeah, I got the game. He's like, I got a normal version. Like, he's like, I didn't buy a collector's one or anything, but it was new, so $60. And he's like, he got, like, a fucking, like, poster, like, a letter, like, a memo thing.
I don't want any of that shit.
And a bunch of promo stuff and, like, a thank you letter for buying the game new.
Yeah, but what...
And 16 free pieces of DLC.
Oh, that might be... is it a new hat? Do I get a new hat?
You might get a new hat.
Oh, man.
You might get a ribbon for your sword.
It's like... Shit like that, like, why? I don't want any of that. I'd rather pay $20 less and just get a standard version of the game.
It was kind of, well, that's the thing. It's normal price. They basically, he got a collector's edition,
yeah.
But not at a collector's edition price.
Well, I get that, but that's also the reason I don't buy collector's editions, is because, or regular editions, is because I'd rather pay $20 on the cheap for when the game's been on sale for a while and just get the regular version of the game. The only time I ever actually like paying the full price is, or... buying new, I guess, would be like,
yeah, you pay full price to buy new, no matter where you're getting it. It's full price if you buy new.
Like in Mass Effect, when you'd get like the add-on stories that they would do, like the whatever, like Mass Effect 3 had, like,
yeah, their
two
DLC,
or three.
Right.
Yeah, the DLC. Like, if I can get that, like, it's a whole playable area. If it's like a new hat or like a pair of boots that have wings on them, it's like, well, does it fucking make me win the game? Because I don't want it, you know. That's me. I'm much more pragmatic when it comes to my video game money.
I generally buy games new.
I buy Battlefront,
but
for Star Wars.
I buy Battlefront.
I move.
Yeah, I generally games like buy games new, but I don't buy a lot of games.
I don't buy a lot of games either. I'm waiting for the Steam sale. It should be coming up soon. Next month.
I did one Steam sale and I never did another one because, like, it didn't cost me a lot of money.
No.
And I bought a ton of games, but I played fucking none of them. Like, I didn't. I'm not to this day, I have yet to play any of the games I bought from that Steam sale 2 years ago.
What's nice is that, like, okay, so Arkham Knights will be coming out. I guarantee you
that I probably will not be buying new.
But I'm probably going to pick it up. But, like, Arkham Knights will probably be on sale for, like, 15% off or 20% off. Not too much, but it's enough that it'll be like, okay, I might buy this game because mm-hmm. I want it. And then, you know, there's, like, a couple other games that I'll probably just pick up. If there's, like, old school games that I really enjoyed playing back in the day. Like, you could get Papers, Please. Not Papers, Please. Or, I don't know. Fucking.
Bad. Yeah. Most of the games I'm interested in, they're all fucking old.
Yeah.
And, like, they're free. And I mean, they're free because they're, what do they call it? Abandonware.
Yeah.
Like, nobody cares about them anymore. So, like, no one's, like, trying to, like, enforce copyright. So people are just freely trading them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way on that.
It's funny. It's like the opposite of retro console gaming.
Yeah.
It's like retro PC gaming is the cheapest fucking thing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Although, it is the most frustrating because you'll be like, why isn't this fucking game working? I've got the emulator running. Everything is working perfectly. But the game won't fucking initialize.
Well, since we've already got 20 minutes over, I'll just tell a quick story.
Is it about your dick?
No, it's actually about...
Look at that dick.
It's about Pat B, since we're talking about video games.
All right, Pat Bale. Except he wasn't Pat Bale last time.
No, he's Pat B. He's back to Pat B. I'm going through a massive purge on a lot of my stuff, and I came across all my old Genesis stuff that I had. Just boxes, like, you know, loose games. I had a couple that were still in box. I had a Genesis, and I'm like, I don't want this anymore. I was never a big Genesis fan. I got the Genesis secondhand. I got all these games secondhand.
But Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
Yes. And so I put it all in a bag, and I said, Pat, come pick up these fucking video games. First of all, I texted him. I'm like, Pat, come by my house. I got shit to give you. And he's like, what, like real shit or metaphorical shit? Are you going to yell at me about something? I'm like, no, I actually have video game stuff for you. So he comes over, and he's like, he sees this giant bag of games. He's like, really? You don't want anything for this? I'm like, Pat, you're one of my friends. I'm not going to charge you for fucking video games.
I did that too when I gave him my Genesis stuff.
Yeah.
I gave Pat my Genesis stuff as well.
Yeah. And he's like, okay. All right. And he's like, well, I'll owe you some beer. I'm like, fine. You could take me out for some beers later. So I get a text from later. He goes, there's Moonwalker in here. Oh, my God.
And I had Moonwalker, too.
And I was like, just take it. And he's like, are you sure this could be lunch and beers? I'm like, just fucking take the games. I don't care.
That game's terrible.
Most video games from back then are pretty bad. Like, the only ones that still hold
up. Definitely the one with the Genesis. The Nintendo games. Any of the games with a Nintendo polish hold up.
Yeah. I mean, like, any side-scroller will generally hold up, and most RPGs from that era hold up.
Yeah.
Not all RPGs, but most of them.
Any first-party Nintendo game. Any game made by Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Perfect. Like, they all hold up.
Super Metroid holds up like nobody's.
Super Metroid's really good.
I just played that again.
I actually bought it for the Wii U.
Super Metroid's amazing. Link to the Past is amazing.
I bought that for the Wii U as well, and then I got a Castlevania 4, Super Castlevania. I got that.
That one's okay. That one's not great, but it definitely plays well.
Yeah.
It
gets really hard.
It's not really the best Castlevania game for me is Symphony of the Night.
Oh yeah, but that was the first one that launched that style.
Yeah.
Because the game right before Symphony of the Night was Rondo of Blood, which was which looked like Symphony of the Night, like fidelity wise, but was Castlevania back and forth. You had a whip, you know. It had the jump thing where if you get hit, you go flying back and you die.
I like Symphony of the Night. That was like, I think, the best Castlevania.
Well, then
game.
You might be excited about Bloodstained.
Yeah,
Kickstarter they're running.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
it's fucking awesome. But his promo video, Iga's promo video, was the funniest thing ever when he fucking throws the wine glass. I was like, yes,
nailed it. All right, so anyway, listen to the other podcasts, including Comic Book Logic, where our next episode will be next week, and it will be Superman, the 1978 movie.
Ugh.
I know.
Ugh.
It's we treat it as such.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But those are the best ones, when a movie's just, like, that bad, we can make fun of it.
It doesn't even have Zod.
It does have Zod.
No. Superman 1? Superman the movie?
Yeah.
Zod's in Superman 2.
Yeah, but he's at the beginning of Superman 1. Remember they find him guilty?
Yeah, well.
Guilty! Guilty!
That's like a Zod teaser. That's like a Just the Tip Zod. And you're
Just the Tip of Zod.
I can't really feel it.
That's the name of this episode, Just the Tip of Zod.
Just the Tip of Zod. That's good.
Kneel before Zod's cock.
And, all right. I guess we're done now, yeah?
Yeah. Anyway, Steve, so until next time.
CSGO League of Legends!
Game Classy.